We find ourselves this year in a situation that can help us understand what really took place during the Purim story in Shushan. Chazal say that during the time of the Purim story, what led up to the Purim story was that the Jews of the time suffered from a lack of achdus. They suffered from a disunity. And Haman himself mentions it to Ahasuerus when he says, "Yeshnei am echad mefuzar mefeirid bein ha'amim." There's a nation that's mefuzar, it's scattered and mefeirid, and it's separate, it's disparate among the nations. And according to Pashup Shat, what he meant to say to Ahasuerus was that you have no reason to worry about the Jews coming together and strengthening each other and forming a unit that will have to be reckoned with, because they're mefuzar and mefeirid. They've scattered and they don't have any unity. He was saying it as a very logical explanation, an argument why there was no reason to fear the Jews. Ultimately, what happened was the Jews actually did come together. So the fear was, there was a good reason for the fear. But the Pashit Pshat also reflects on the deeper level of what was going on, was that there was a serious lack of unity among the Jews. They're Mefirah, they lacked unity. Now, why was there this lack of Achdus? What led to it? What was the Siva for it that Klal Yisrael were so divided? So I would say that you can see in Chazal two or three points that help us understand what the lack of Achdus was at that time. So the first one, and the primary one, is that you see that they did not heed the words of Mordechai. When Mordechai told them that they should not attend the Sudas Achashverosh, they disregarded what he said, and they attended nonetheless. Now, we normally look at this as a lack of respect for a Talmud Chacham, the lack of respect for the Torah, but it goes much deeper than that. What it was the inability to unify under a leader. That was the real reason why they didn't listen to Mordechai, why they didn't follow Mordechai. And you have to think about it in the historical context. Up till this point in history, up till Galus Babel, Klal Yisrael had a king. That was the unifying factor in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael wasn't led by Talmid Chacham. It was Moshe and Yeshua, and Yeshua's Mesirul and Avim. There was a king and there was a Navi. The king unified Klal Yisrael. The king led Klal Yisrael. The king made all the decisions and all the calls about what should or shouldn't be done. The Navi advised the king. The Navi rebuked the king. The Navi screamed at the king. He did what he can to communicate what it is Hashem wants to the king, but the king was the force. The king was the power, and that was who everybody followed. That was what Klal Yisrael was accustomed to. The period of Malachim had ended. With the Harbin of the Beis HaMikdash, there were no more Malachim. Klal Yisrael were not unified under a king. So they were not. That was not the method moving forward anymore. The period of Nevi'im also had ended. There were some Nevi'im. There was Yechezkel Navi, but at this point, it's the end of Galus Babel already. His Pashas doesn't seem he was alive anymore. And then there was Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, but they had limited effect, limited power in their Nevuah. They weren't leading Klal Yisrael with Nevuah at that point. The period of Nevi'im was over. It was time for Masarul HaChacham, that Nevi'im gave it over to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That was the next step in Klal Yisrael's progression. They were not going to be led anymore by kings and Nevi'im. They were going to be led by Talmid HaChacham. They were going to be led by the Gedolei HaTorah. But that hadn't happened quite yet. Klal Yisrael hadn't, and that actually solidified in the Purim story, when they banded together under Mordechai, but at this moment, that had not yet taken place. And therefore, Klal Yisrael lacked that unity to come together under a Talmud Chacham. During the period of Bayis Sheni, once the power was given over to Talmid Chachamim, the Talmid Chachamim were the ones. They were the de facto rulers of Klal Yisrael throughout the whole Bayis Sheni period. And even once there were kings, so after the Chashmonaim won the war, and then they established themselves as kings, and then there was a progression of Chashmonaim kings who ended it, then turned it into Hardus, they all became tzedekim. And tzedekim were people who disregarded Chazal and had no respect for Talmid Chachamim. This was, it's misunderstood, but this was a political move, because the Talmid Chachamim were the ones who ran Klal Yisrael. And the kings wanted to run Klal Yisrael. as a political power, they just disengaged from Tamid HaKham. They were tzedekim. They said, we don't believe in Teresh HaBapah. We don't need Tamid HaKham. The war between the tzedekim and the Purushim was a war of power. Who was the one who was going to lead Klal Yisrael? Ultimately, the majority, the overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael, according to the way Yosefun presents it, they followed the Purushim, who were the Tamid HaChachamim. It was this war, this strife between the Tzedekim and the Purushim, the hatred, which is the Sinas Chinam, that essentially that Chazal are referring to, destroyed the second base of Mikdash. It was that lack of Achdus, that inability to unite. But the Talmid HaChachamim, for the majority of Bayi Sheni, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the Zugois, the Tanoim, Torah is what led Klal Yisrael. From once the Nevi'im stopped, Torah was what took over and began to lead Klal Yisrael. But this, again, was not a clear point yet. It hadn't been solidified at the moment of the Purim story. Mordechai was, at least the way the Megillah presents it, he was not a Navi. And if you think about it in a fascinating twist, Esther was a Navi. Esther Amalka was a Navi. Chazal says she was one of the seven Nevi'is. And her Nevuah is expressed in the Megillah. You have to understand what it means. Atilbash Esther Malchus. That's where Chazal learned that she was a Navi. So she was practicing Nevuah in the Megillah alone, in the Megillah itself. Whereas Mordechai did not demonstrate any Nevuah throughout the Megillah. And yet nonetheless, Esther subjugates herself to Mordechai. So he was seemingly on a greater level than him, but it wasn't the time for Nevi'im anymore. It was now the time for Tamid Chacham to lead Klal Yisrael. And therefore she was Mevatel Da'ita. She subjugated herself totally to whatever Mordechai says. Now, in reality, Mordechai was a Navi. It's actually an interesting Gemara Megillah. It's Daf Tezvav and Aleph. The Gemara says that Baruch ben Neria, who was a Talmud of Yirmiyahu Navi, Siraya ben Maaseiah, another Gadol, Daniel, Mordechai, Bilshan, someone mentioned in Divrei Yamim, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Kulam Nisnabmu B'Shnas Shtayim LeDaryavish. They all said a Nevuah in the second year of Daryavish. The second year of Daryavish is Daryavish ben Esther, Esther's son, who is the one that in the second year of his reign allowed Klal Yisrael to return and to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. And Rashi says, what were all these Nevi'im, what were they prophesying? That Hashem wants you to go back and build the second base of Mikdash. They were all commanding in the name of Hashem. This is Chag Yizchar Malachi, we have it written, that they commanded in the name of Hashem to go back and build the second base of Mikdash. How many Jews actually listened? A fraction. I mean, the minority of Klal Yisrael listened to actually go back and to build the second base of Mikdash. But in any case, this Nevuah of Mordechai and of Daniel, which is not mentioned at all in Sefer Daniel, all this Nevuah was all the way at the end of the Gaulus. So his whatever Nevuah he did have, wherever Navi he was practicing, that only took place all the way at the end of the Gaulus Babel at the time of the Daryavish HaSheni. But during the time of the Purim story, he's not presented as a Navi and he doesn't demonstrate any Nevuah. So much so that Rashi says, when the Pasuk says, Mordechai Yada as Kala Shanasa, Mordechai knew what Achashverosh had told Haman, the plan that it had made. How did he know? So Rashi says, Balach Alayim Higidloi. There's a malach, an angel that's appointed over delivering, administering dreams. He told Mordechai. Now, if Mordechai was a Navi, then there's no question, how did he know? Nevi'im knew everything. You see that many times throughout Navi. A Navi knew. Hashem told him. So it's clear Rashi is understanding throughout the Megillah there was no Nevuah for Mordechai. He wasn't practicing, he wasn't demonstrating himself as a Navi. And nonetheless, Esther, who was a Navi, was Mevatel Daita to Mordechai, who was the Kayach of Terah. Now this changes with the Purim story, and Klal Yisrael learns to follow Mordechai and follow his decisions, and it's very powerful. When you think of how many parts were reliant on Klal Yisrael trusting Mordechai and trusting his decision. When a Navi told something in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had one of two choices. You could either say, I don't believe Hashem said that. I don't believe you're a Navi. Or there was as you see many times in Tanakh, there were other people that came and said, we're also Nevi'im, and this is what Hashem said. We're Nevi'a Sheker. That's what created the strife and the confusion, because you had multiple people claiming that Hashem said this, Hashem said that. But that was the whole question. What did Hashem say? Did he say this? Did he say that? Do you trust this Navi? Do you trust that Navi? With the point when Tamil Chacham took over, it became a whole different nusach, a whole different question, a whole different way of administering Klal Yisrael. Mordechai made a decision. He said, don't go to Sudas HaChashverosh. It was a highly debatable decision. It was a highly debated decision. There was many political reasons why it was the best move for Klal Yisrael to attend that party and show support to the king. And that was the point why he was inviting everybody. He wanted to strengthen his control over the reign. So it stood to reason that that was the best move for all of Klal Yisrael who were so oppressed to show as much support as possible. And yet Mordechai says, don't do it. It was a very fine-tuned decision. You had to trust in the fact that he had the Koyach HaTorah, that he was right. But it wasn't anymore a question of, oh, Hashem said. Okay, Hashem said. No. You say like this, well, I think differently. It was a struggle about the Koyach HaTorah. And that repeats itself in the Megillah again and again. When Mordechai tells Esther she should go and speak to Achashverosh, Esther disagrees. And they then start to have a machlokes. They have a disagreement. Esther presents one approach. She says, let me wait. Why should I risk my life? And if I get killed, then we lose everything. And Mordechai says, don't wait. And he presents his argument. And the svarim go on and on and on to explain the two sides of this machlokes. This was an argument in Torah that was going on here. And Esther's life was at stake. She was going to be risking her own life because of Mordechai's decision, which she contested. The Maharal explains what they were arguing about. Others form explain differently. There's a lot of ways to understand what it is they were arguing about. But ultimately, she's Mevatel Daita. She says, I will listen to you and I will follow what you say. Mordechai made a decision not to bow down to Haman. That we have a Gemara about. That's not a simple decision. Whether that was the right decision, that was not. Was Haman a Novei Dezara? Did he make himself a Novei Dezara? Was he wearing a Novei Dezara? Is it Aser? Is that considered serving an idol if you bow down to a Novei Dezara without that intention? There's a whole sugya Novei Dezara about it. It wasn't a simple decision either. It was a fine-tuned decision that Mordechai made based on his understanding of the Torah. And now all of Klal Yisrael was suffering a decree as a result, and they had to trust that Mordechai knew and Mordechai was right. And they didn't. Initially, they resented what Mordechai did greatly, tremendously. The Gemara Megillah tells us that they blamed him, they blamed his grandfather, they blamed his great-great-grandfather. They would have all died. We wouldn't have had any of this trouble. So this was a tremendous struggle for Klal Yisrael to move over, to shift into a new reality where it's not the word of Hashem. It's relying on the human's ability to learn Torah, to be Nisala, to be Niskadish, to dedicate his life and his neshama to Torah, to the point where he can speak with the power of a Navi through communicating what the Torah wants of us. And ultimately, they did listen. When Mordechai told them they have to fast and fast through Pesach, they listened. They followed his command. When he said that they have to unify in Davin, they listened. They followed his command. When he said that little children, 22,000 children, have to fast for 3 days straight, they listened. They listened to things that, if you think about it in context, you think about it objectively, they wouldn't be easy things to listen to. They wouldn't be easy decisions to follow. Even those decisions were not easy decisions to follow. But this was where Klal Yisrael made that shift. And they recognized that this is our leader now. And that's what unified them. Esther herself demonstrated this. The Gra says this in Megillah, a beautiful piece. The Gra says that initially, b'chol yom v'yom Mordechai mishalach b'nei chasar anashim l'beis anashim l'dasher shleim Esther ma'yasabah. And pasuk before that is lo yigida Esther es amavas melagta. Esther didn't reveal her nation and where she was from. Ki Mordechai tziva la shalei sagi, because Mordechai commanded her not to say. So why did Mordechai tell her not to say? So the Gra explains that the reason he gave her why she shouldn't say was because she had originally resisted arrest, right? She had tried to hide from Achashverosh's servants. And then even when they found her, she had to be brought forcibly to the king. And he thought that if it finds out who she is and her nation, and then it finds out that she resisted, not only will he kill her, but he'll take out his ire on the whole nation as well. So he said, you know what, don't reveal that piece of information. Now, then, when Ahasuerus was very happy with her and very excited with her and married her and demonstrated tremendous love, it was clear that was not an issue anymore. There was no way in the world he was going to care about that. He had demonstrated he didn't care about that fact. He knew and didn't care. And he was all crazy about her. So why at that point did she still, as the pasuk goes on later, She still refused to say where she was from. And he exerted tremendous pressure on her. we can't even begin to understand the level of the pressure he exerted on her that she should reveal this information. The way the Gra explains, he made a tax cut for all 127 nations that were under his command. He made a tax cut for all of them because one of them may be her nation. And he told her, you know, well, really, it's only for your nation, and I'm suffering tremendous loss of finance here. As soon as you tell me who your nation is, they're the ones who will get the tax cut. Everybody else, you know, will start, we'll resume collecting taxes, which is the last pasuk in the Megillah. Vayasa machasheresh mas, aliyah hayam. That's why he explains it. That's why he put back taxes as soon as he found out where Esther was from. All the taxes came back on all the rest of the nations. He went and he threatened to marry other women, because she wasn't going to let him know where she was from. He exerted a tremendous amount of pressure. Now, the Gra says she continued not to say where she was from. Why? Because Mordechai had told her. But the reason Mordechai had told her was not applicable anymore. Well, Mordechai still was telling her, no, nonetheless, continue keeping it a secret. Mordechai was every day telling her not to say, but she had no explanation anymore for why. She had no understanding anymore for why she shouldn't be revealing the information. And for that matter, we also don't know why. We don't know why Mordechai wanted to keep it a secret. Doesn't say anywhere. Anybody finds a source, you can let me know. But there's no, all the sources, they all explain the original reason why Mordechai didn't want her to tell Ahasuerus, shouldn't want to marry her. All the reasons given don't apply at this point anymore when it's all done. It's married, Ahasuerus is not divorcing her. There's only one way out of a kingly marriage, right? That's the guillotine. She wasn't getting, there's no end to this at this point. But nonetheless, she continues. Why? The Gra says, Laharis goydel tzidkasa, her tremendous tzidkis, that she followed Mordechai's command, even though she did not understand why. And that was the essence of what Klal Yisrael had to shift into. And that was the unifying factor. And in terms of what we see today, that there was a tremendous level of unity demonstrated in Klal Yisrael after Simchas Torah, after October 7th. And it truly was astounding. It was astounding, the level of how we came together and people put aside the differences. And again, they exclaimed and they attested to the fact how all those things don't matter anymore. They hate us, whether we're Jew, what kind of Jew we are, what color we are, what do we wear, how we practice. Nobody cares. And that was tremendous, and it's very powerful. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu does that as a last resort, like a shot in the arm, to bring us back together. But we can only be held together, it can only last, if the Achdus is the kind of Achdus that was demonstrated in the Purim story, where they united under the Torah. You can't remain unified if you don't share values. You can't remain unified if your differences still are there. What Klal Yisrael did was they actually put aside their differences and they took new values on. They took on the value of now we're going to be led through the Kayach HaTorah, now we're going to be led through Gedolei Torah, and it came to such a level of Achdus as Kimu V'Kiblu, they were Mekabel a new Torah. They were able to be Mekabel Torah again. But that is a requirement for the Achdus that happens in a time of a tremendous danger, for it to be a lasting Achdus, is that the unity has to be based on values, has to be based on a shared value, and based on the fact that we follow Talmid Chachamim, we follow the Torah, and that's what we dedicate our life to.